Job one for federal agency tech staffs these days can be summed up in one word: cybersecurity. A big part of ensuring safety of data is making sure networks are protected. Leo Taddeo is the chief security officer at CryptZone and former FBI special agent in charge of the Bureau's Special Operations Cyber Division in New York. He joins me now with some advice for best practices for network monitoring and intrusion prevention. Mr. Taddeo, great to have you on.
Morning, Tom. Great to be here.
All right, from what you've seen, especially from the FBI's standpoint, what are federal agencies' biggest challenges in knowing and understanding what exactly is happening on their networks? Because they seem to not know it very often.
Well, Tom, I think the biggest challenge is knowing what your network is. In the past, we defined our network by the physical assets that made up our networks. We slapped an asset tag on it, we connected it, and we were able to control it and monitor it. But with the advent of mobile platforms and more employees using mobile devices, we see a wider distributed network. It's very hard in this day and age to know what is on our network. We have a distributed enterprise in most agencies, meaning that the network assets are all over the place. And we also have distributed data. It's very difficult to figure out where our data is. This is not only true for federal agencies, but for the private sector. I've been involved in cases where, after a breach, it took some time and effort to determine where the data actually was, whether it was here in the United States, potentially overseas, depending on how the networks were configured. So I think as we start to integrate more and more of the mobile platforms in the federal workforce, we're going to see increasing challenges on monitoring what the network is doing. That said, I think it's going to get a little easier as we move to a virtualized environment, meaning the cloud platforms. The cloud platforms will allow us to use the machines to identify what assets are on our networks and more accurately, more completely visualize and monitor that traffic. So I think while some of the trending is working against us, I think in the long run we're going to have a somewhat easier time consolidating all these assets and monitoring. It's just going to take that investment and that time and that work to build out these more robust platforms so that we can keep better track of it. In terms of what should be monitored, much attention has been paid to the perimeter, so we're doing a fairly good job knowing what's coming into our network, and we're starting to get more aware of what's leaving our network, which is also important. But there's also all of this traffic within our network, and it's in many cases on many networks, the traffic between segments is greater than the traffic in and out. So I think in terms of what we should monitor, CISOs today should be very conscious, and they are conscious of the need to monitor the internal traffic. And there are some things internally that we can dig into, but I think that's a very important point to make, is that the internal traffic is really where the adversary is manipulating our systems and getting access to some of the sensitive data.
I guess especially if the adversary is someone inside to begin with, which is a big problem, you know, it's the insider threat. But I wanted to also ask you, earlier this morning I spoke about the VA's Inspector General came out with a report on improper use of Yammer within the agency. And of course the use of Yammer, apparently, for a lot of people, 50,000 employees, met a technology need that the network itself did not meet. And so you have kind of a grafting together of the internal of your own network with an external network like Yammer. And that seems to be something that's growing in use and yet seems to make it more complicated to know what is, as you say, what is part of your network and what is not.
Right, and we see this all across the board. Whenever we put in a security measure, if it impacts employee productivity, we are either faced with employee workarounds that undermine security, or they turn off the security measures altogether. So security for these networks is a balancing act between access and availability and of course, efficiency. These are carefully balanced engineering challenges, and once we start to impact some of those functional requirements, we find employees creating shortcuts that sometimes lead to compromises. That's absolutely true.
Also, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the monitoring program and the diagnostics and mitigation that is the policy for the government right now, there's an obsession almost with dashboards, and many of the vendors offer dashboards that to tell you what's going on. and the federal government is about to deploy dashboards through Homeland Security. But what should a dashboard show?
I mean, well, that's a great question. I think it depends on who your audience is and what you're trying to drive. So a dashboard is nothing new. It's a management tool. It identifies for executives what is happening and what you intend to happen. And if you're driving towards certain goals, a dashboard can tell you whether you're making progress. So it certainly depends on the audience. The senior level executive corporate board would have a different dashboard, obviously, than someone doing incident response. And so dashboards need to be designed so that they're effective depending on what change you're trying to drive, what you're trying to monitor, and who your audience is. I think they're essential. They're very important for network defenders in terms of demonstrating to leadership where the problems are and what solutions are being put in place and how progress is being made. They're especially important to monitor the progress of projects and initiatives and spending. I think if I were designing a dashboard for executives in my organization, you need to focus on staffing, spending, and progress towards significant security initiatives. Getting down in the weeds about how many breaches you're stopping, some of that data is really irrelevant, and putting it on a dashboard may be interesting because the numbers are enormous, but I think it's distracting. Executives understand people, they understand budgets, and they understand project towards completing what they have already paid for. So those are the items I would put on high-level dashboards. And, of course, you can design low-level dashboards to fit any department. But if you're going to focus on an executive level, I think those are the areas: people, money, and progress towards expensive and priority projects.
We're speaking with Leo Taddeo. He's Chief Security Officer at CryptZone and former FBI Special Agent in charge of the Bureau's Special Operations Cyber Division. And that investment issue, that's an important question, because CIOs and CISOs are always saying there's millions of tools out there, and so they're having difficulty rationalizing investments and knowing what to invest in. You know, without getting product specific, in general, what kinds of things should people be looking at that will get them the most bang for that buck in getting towards better cybersecurity?
Well, you're right, Tom. There's no magic bullet out there. You know, network defenders have to make some hard choices in spending security dollars. This is the reality for the foreseeable future. We're dealing with legacy systems and complex software. And so all of this is very difficult to unwind, much less advance and improve. So I think you're right. The priority in the past has been spending on perimeter protection. And we've seen that the strategy of protecting our perimeter is really not working so well for us. Every data point we can measure shows that breaches are on the rise, and that breaches that we have seen, it's not very hard to penetrate a perimeter. As a matter of fact, it's one of the easier aspects in a compromise. So the question is, what do we focus on? And I think there needs to be more attention paid on hardening the interior, and that means limiting access. We have to be better at limiting what users can see, limiting what users can do, and where they can go on our network. So there are some technologies out there that can do that. It changes the equation for an attacker. It makes it more expensive. It makes it harder. And I think that's really where we need to focus some resources. So in terms of prioritizing budget, you can spend a lot of money today on situational awareness and countermeasures, but I think you'd be well served to look at how to harden your interior, because the adversary will find a way to get in. We've seen that time and time again.
And what about the phishing threat? Because that becomes an interior threat by getting email into people. And with those phishing attacks becoming so much more sophisticated, it's almost impossible to tell if something is coming from someone you know, whether it is a phishing attack. What can be done there?
Right. I've heard a lot about training against phishing attacks and training our workforce. I'm very skeptical about that, because if you can go from a workforce that clicks on 90% of malicious emails down to a workforce that clicks on only 10%, you're still dealing with 10% of the workforce. 10% of the emails that are malicious are still getting clicked on and introducing malware potentially into your system. So spear phishing, while training is good and it reduces the amount that's coming at you, there has to be a technology and an architecture solution to the spear phishing problem. We can't rely on employees to spot malicious in the long run. That is not the strategy that's going to turn this threat away. We need to have segmented and separated sections of our network so that emails are executed in places where they can do no harm. And we also, again, it's about hardening the interior. Someone is going to click on, we have some employees that will click on anything. That's the reality. And once they do, we have to make sure that that executable does not have a damaging effect on other parts of the network. In my opinion, it's really a technology and architecture solution in the long run.
And the name of your company, CryptZone, kind of brought to my mind a question. It sounds like a place where zombies live, actually, a crypt zone. But there's a lot of interest in federal agencies on the deep web and even further on the dark web. And at the FBI, I know you probably spent a lot of time searching around there because that's where a lot of exfiltrated data ends up. How much do CISOs need to know about that whole area of the web and whether it's important for them to be able to navigate it in terms of pursuing better cybersecurity?
Right. So you mentioned a very interesting topic. So there are parts of the Internet that are not searchable by normal search engines like Google. So you won't be able to index certain – Google can't index everything on the Internet. And what it can't index is unavailable to the normal search engine. Within that, deep web is the dark web, and these are parts of the Internet that are only accessible through special browsers or special configurations. So we have a portion of the Internet, it's gaining more attention, called the dark web, where there are underground markets, there are underground services. It's pretty much from a network defender point of view, much of what's in the dark web is innocuous. These are marketplaces for contraband and some other subculture type of activity. But from a network defender point of view, what's important to know is that there are very useful intelligence gathering activities in the dark web, in the deep web, that can identify a potential attack. So we do see, for example, some hacktivist groups using dark and deep web technologies to communicate, post on certain sites. This type of monitoring can give you advance notice of a denial of service attack or some other action against your organization. So I think for CISOs, the important thing to know is that if you don't have an intelligence section within your organization, if you're not big enough to fund it and staff it, there are services out there, big and small, that can monitor the dark web for you and give you advance notice. There are also forums that you can join and information sharing platforms that can provide the same type of information, sort of giving you that intelligence and threat-based approach to your defense that everybody's looking for.
All right, lots to think about. Leo Taddeo is Chief Security Officer at CryptZone and former FBI Special Agent in charge of the Special Operations Cyber Division in New York. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. I very much appreciate it. Thanks again.